Someone asked me this morning about this thing we do, this imposition of ashes that we'll experience in just a few moments. And his concern was, as he was watching things going on, that it could easily become an empty gesture. I think he was looking at people at the train station who kind of got a quick hit and then jumped on the train. You know, there are people that do that. And I reminded him that we can't judge others' hearts. And also that God can act in our lives in split seconds, right? But I also admitted that we can too easily fall into patterns that lose meaning and where we lose the depth of experience of things, whether we're liturgical or not. This is not a day for many words, but also it's not a day for empty gestures. So as we come to receive ashes on our foreheads tonight, a few words to hopefully enlighten our minds and quicken our hearts. Ashes, as you know, don't exist on their own. It's not something people mine or you find them. They're a product of something. They're a product of combustion, of things being burned up, consumed, but also of things being refined and purified. Ashes point to fire, of course. And for most of us, I think we clearly understand the power of fire to destroy and to ruin and the danger of it. And I was watching the children tonight near the fire there and thinking, okay, not too close, not too close. In our own Christian story, we think about the fire that lays waste to Sodom and Gomorrah. We think of the images of fire and brimstone of eternal punishment that some of us heard over and over and over again growing up. We know the fear that so many have of dying in fire. I think it's my mom's like primary fear that she'll die in a fire. Or people who just fear losing everything in a great conflagration. And some people have experienced that, and they know what that is. Fire can bring tragedy and loss, and many people have a strong sense of fire as danger and death. And certainly that is true. But fire is also life. It's also change. In fact, the development of human civilization can be, in some senses, read as a development of the taming of fire. From just gathering around a source of heat, to cooking with it, to having it serve as safety and protection, to offering light in the dark, all the way forward to electricity, and even health, because lasers, which I think are just concentrated fire, by the way, are used now to separate life from death in our bodies. In the Bible, God is the source of fire. No one else is. There's fire that comes on the altar. There's fire from heaven. There's fire at the dedication of the temple. There's fire that's guidance in the wilderness. There's fire that's brought to the lips of the prophet. The fire of the Holy Spirit. This fire speaks of God's holiness. It speaks of the protection of his people. It speaks of the truth of his word and power. Fire points to his presence and to his love and his care. So it's no wonder where this fire of God is known, we can also sometimes find ashes. Because what the fire of God touches, it doesn't leave the same. It brings both death and life. It brings death to the things that are killing us, as my pastor friend Matt likes to say, those things that are killing our relationship to God and to each other. And it brings life to what makes us fully alive in God. So ashes are simply a sign of that deeper work of the refining fire of the Spirit in our lives, that fire that can burn up the passions, the fire that can burn up the lusts, the sins, the things that we're so tired of, that we long to be free of. Sometimes ashes are the sign that we're not sure what will be left when the Spirit has done its work, but that we know we can't go on as we have been. And we desire to be the people God intended for us to be. I think also we can receive ashes for the sins and the hatred and the prejudices of all of humanity. Really, we can receive ashes for the world around us. The terrible report of violence today of 17 people who were killed in a school again. What can we do for that? Well, there's much that can be done, but tonight we can take ashes. And we can witness to God's refining power. Ashes aren't just a personal thing. Ashes are a sign that we're crying out to God for these things to stop, for his refining power to come in the world to make us all new. We enter Lent today, by the way. I think you know that. And we enter Lent with ashes because we know that we need both death and life. We need change, even if we're not exactly sure what that will look like. We need a deep transformation, a change of heart that's not just on the surface, not just ashes on the forehead, but a life that looks something like what Isaiah calls forth. A life that looses the bounds of injustice, that undoes the thongs of the yoke, that sets the oppressed free, that breaks every yoke, that shares food with the hungry, that provides the poor wanderer with shelter. We're a long way from that. We're a long way from that. And only the fire of God doing a deep work can bring us to that place. Then, as the prophet says, our healing will come quickly. We can be changed. Ashes can be a sign to us that we desire this change and an affirmation that the fire of God is already at work in us, forgiving, healing, redeeming, and purifying, helping us to die in those places where we must die so that new life can be born. We lived in Colorado a number of years ago when that state's largest forest fire broke out. Largest ever forest fire. That was in 2002. The Hayman fire ended up destroying over 138,000 acres and hundreds and hundreds of homes. We knew people in our church whose homes were completely destroyed, homes that were turned to ashes, literally. And although we were never directly threatened, it came close. And I'll never forget the night when we stepped outside in that dark Colorado night when usually you can see stars like Abraham saw, I think. And we could see the flames on the other side of the hills reflecting off the clouds just across the highway from us. Well, that fire occurred, and many forest fires occur in part because we've become so good at fighting fires. We put them out quickly. But fires are natural. They're supposed to burn in the forest. But we don't like them. We avoid the flames. And then the underbrush, which a natural fire takes care of over time, it builds up. All that stuff just builds up and until a spark or a match or lightning or whatever like that just sets it off. And then the fires are too great to be controlled. That's why sometimes we see controlled burns in fields or in wooded areas, to keep things from accumulating to dangerous levels. Fire is needed in the forest to clear the way for new life, to germinate those seeds that only open when licked by flame. And that's why we come to Lent every year, rather than every 3 or 4 years when I think we'd rather do it. We take ashes on the forehead tonight and every year because we know we need it. Because we don't want the dead parts of our lives to build up and choke out the living in a way that it will be so hard for it to be dealt with. Because our world needs this as well. We need to be changed because our world needs us to be the people of God in this world. The journey ahead of us in this season is for our life, not for our death. It's for our life and not destruction, to lead us to the joys of Easter. But first there are ashes and the fire of God. Come, Holy Spirit, refine us, renew us, set our hearts aflame with your love. Amen.